Turn to the book of Titus. Book of Titus. I love the book of Titus. It's probably one of my favorites. And usually the line is, it's one of my favorites, but that changes every week. The book of Titus has been my favorite for a long time, so I think it might actually be my favorite. but it's such an amazing book, because in chapter 1 you have Paul writing this letter to Titus. He's telling them, you know, you need to set up elders in all these different congregations. And what are some of those qualifications? And then you get into chapter 2. Let me pull this up in the New King James Version. Titus chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And you go down the list and you've got your old men, your young women, your older women, and all these responsibilities of what you're supposed to do. You've got your elders. This is what you're supposed to look like. And then in chapter 3, you've got more encouragement to be ready for every good work. But the hub of Titus, if you really want to understand Titus, it's in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Now look at this. If you understand this passage, you understand the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's grace past. Grace past. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's grace present. And then verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's grace future. So we have in the book of Titus all these expectations. This is what you're supposed to do. This is the model you're supposed to fit. This is the kind of person you're supposed to be. How do you get there? Titus 2 verses 11 through 13. That's what you plug into your function. In math, we have functions. And so you have this equation. And if you plug in a certain input, you'll get a certain output. Well, when it comes to the book of Titus and when it comes to our lives as Christians, if you plug in that grace past, grace present, and grace future, you're going to get the rest of the book of Titus. You're going to get older men who are self-controlled. You're going to get young women who are fulfilling the roles that they're supposed to. You're going to have older men who are ready to step into that role as elders in the local congregation. That's what it looks like, but you have to plug that in first. You have to plug in that grace. And many times in the denominational world, grace is pictured as something that we can't help. It's something that we receive, and then that's it. That's all that we have to do. But grace is something that's active. It's something that we have to take, yes, but it's something that we have to... What's my right word? The saying is that grace is a gift. It's a gift, but we have to accept it. And in order to accept it, we have to reach out for it on God's terms. So in other words, there's terms to the gift. There's expectations that if you want this gift, you have to meet these expectations. And this is exactly what our lives are going to look like. And then the rest of the book of Titus is all about good works. So you've accepted that grace. You've become the person that you're supposed to be. Now go out and do things that are good for the kingdom, that glorify God. Why? So that more people can have that grace, so that they can do good works, so that they can glorify God. And it's this amazing cycle of people doing what's right. Other people are interested because that's not the norm, and then they're brought into the fold. And that's why the gospel has survived as long as it has. Because it's a cycle. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we do what we're supposed to do, then our numbers will grow. And I understand that numbers aren't the goal, but they are important because every number represents a soul that's living the way that it should. So in some ways, numbers are important. And that's the encouragement I'd like for us to think about tonight, at least, is, you know, what am I doing to bring other people into the fold? What am I actively doing? Who am I actively reaching out to make sure that they have a chance to know the gospel? Even if it's just a chance. And there's someone in my life that I've never reached out to before. I've never mentioned Christ to them before. I've never done anything actively wrong. I mean, I'm living a Christian life, but I've never actively said something to them about my faith. I need to fix that. That's not okay. Evangelism isn't a suggestion. It's an expectation. And I'm worried that maybe on the Day of Judgment, we may come before the throne and there may be people who have checked off the list of Christianity. They've done all the things that they're supposed to do, but if I've never brought a single person to Christ, what does that say about me? What does that say about my faith? Do I actually have a relationship with God if I haven't influenced a single person for good? If I haven't been responsible, at least partially, for another person learning about the gospel and coming to it, what does that say about how much I actually believe in God and His promises? Because just as God promised eternal life, He also promised eternal damnation for those who don't. And so the better I understand the gospel, the more motivated I should be to carry that out to other people. So Titus is an amazing book. It's all about grace. It's all about good works. It's all about becoming the people that we are supposed to be and fulfilling that role that Christ has left for us. If you're here tonight and you've not accepted that grace, it's the best life that you could possibly have. It's not the easiest. It's not the simplest. And sometimes that might be what's projected, is that the Christian life is the easiest. Well, it's not easy. It wasn't meant to be easy. In fact, your life is going to get a lot harder whenever you put on Christ in baptism. But it's still the best life that you could possibly live. You're going to sleep the best that you ever have, because now that you're inside of Christ, you have that peace. You have that joy that comes with knowing God and pursuing Him instead of pursuing my own personal pleasures or desires. So if you're here this evening and you're in need of that grace, that door stands open. That's something that's available to each one of us. But again, like we mentioned before, I have to come to God on His terms. I can't say, well, I want this gift and I'm going to do what I want to get that gift. I have to meet His expectations. I have to do what He expects me to do. The gospel plan of salvation is for us to hear the gospel preached, Romans 10:17. To believe those things that we've heard. And then also not only to believe that God exists, but also that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Once I've come into contact with the gospel, I've looked into that perfect law of liberty, I'm going to see some parts of myself that aren't quite as pretty as they should be. I'm going to see some things that I need to fix. And whenever I fix them, whenever I decide, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore, that's hurt me before, that's hurt others around me, and that's hurt God in the process, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's called repentance. That's me deciding I'm not going to live for myself, I'm going to live for something better, someone greater than myself. I need to confess that Jesus Christ was who He said He was. He wasn't just a good prophet. He wasn't just some man with some good moral teachings. He was the Son of God. He was the second member of the Godhead in form as a human. And I need to be willing to confess that He is in fact that Son. And then I could put on Christ in baptism, 1 Peter 3:21. It's that final act, that simulation, if you will, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that actually adds me to the kingdom. If I've been in that kingdom but I've fallen away and I've given up that gift of grace that I had, I'm walking in darkness now, then that can also be fixed. But again, I have to come back to God on His terms. And then the steps are a little different. I don't have to be baptized again, but I do have to confess those mistakes and I have to repent of them. I have to do better in the future. So wherever you are tonight, we've all got things that we can work on. Even if I don't have sin to confess and I'm already a Christian, we're all fixer-uppers. We're all fixer-uppers. There's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. So let's go with that in mind for the rest of our weeks, that we can do better, that we can work harder at fulfilling the roles that God has given us to fulfill. If you're here this evening and you have some sort of need that we can help you with, please come as we stand and as we sing.